Maximum Health with your host, Dr. Ken Gray. Dr. Gray obtained his master's in both acupuncture and oriental medicine from the Atlantic Institute of Oriental Medicine. Dr. Gray enjoys both being a physician as well as being an educator. His unique approach to holistic healing has taken him abroad to lecture in Germany and treat sports professionals in Hawaii and France. He is co-author of several books on food therapy. His office is in Jupiter, Florida, where he has practiced for over a decade and where he resides. Now it's time for Maximum Health with Dr. Ken Gray.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Maximum Health Radio. We are quality living. And I am yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray, holistic physician. Thank you for joining us every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard on 88.9 FM WQCS. And also, any shows that you would want to visit and just have a look-see and listen to, there's prx.org. It's a wonderful free service, public radio exchange. And you just look up Maximum Health, you'll find all past shows there. And also, if for some reason you miss any portion of this show, prx.org is wonderful. You take it with you on your phone. The beautiful thing about the show is it's really a new guest every week, and we have amazing people that just teach us how to live life with maximum health. I have today with us an amazing individual in his own right that took a break from his touring and lecturing and his family, his very busy life, to share with us a lot about transitioning, the world of transitioning. He was a high-ranking officer in the military, and now in his retirement, he is helping many transition from a life of intense and selfless service to new lives, which may be still intense and selfless, but different type of service. Correct, Mr. Eversman?
Absolutely, yeah. It is. And thank you for having me.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you that we could get our schedule together and you could come to the studio and I could sit with you and have a wonderful conversation that will most likely help many individuals listening. So tell us about your story, your background.
So the long story, not so long. I spent 20 years on active duty in the Army. I tell people it was the only job I had as an adult, and you know, thought that was normal. You know, military life in general, from a hierarchy, the structure, daily life, all the things that went into that profession, I just assumed was how life was out here. So when you leave the service or retire, for whatever reason, transition, you find that it's a whole new kettle of fish out here. And I have been trying desperately to share thoughts and stories with people that are going to follow along this path down the road, and hopefully ease someone's burden a little bit as they look to the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, what rank did you leave the Army in?
I retired as a infantry company first sergeant. So that's a senior enlisted soldier. The pay grade is E8. So across the service, one of the senior guys or gals that generally is thought of as the advisor to the commander, mm-hmm. The right-hand man, the deputy, if you will, who is responsible across the board for the health, morale, and welfare of all of the troops, as well as hopefully giving tactical counsel to the commander. So it's a sort of the jack of all trades, master of none, mm-hmm. but the common denominator across the branch in the military is it's a senior enlisted soldier who really has his or her thumb on the pulse, so to speak, of all the troops.
So as Sergeant Matt Eversman, is that what they called you?
Yep.
How many men did you have under your
command? my last assignment up in Fort Drum, New York, in the 10th Mountain Division, I had about 140 soldiers in my charge. During that last enlistment, my unit was deployed to Iraq. specifically to train the Iraqi soldiers. So at one point, I think I had 500 Iraqi soldiers attached to our unit to try and take care of, which was an interesting story in itself of living with literally this completely new culture of, of soldiers. But I think about 150 is generally the average.
So you go and you're a sergeant and you are the mediator, so to speak, between the commander and the men. And you're doing this during wartime, in some cases, obviously, for 20 years. You've seen a lot. You've been there. You've dealt with loss. Yes?
Yes, sadly, but yeah, reality, so, yes. Yeah.
And then you have to deal with that emotionally. You, as an independent soldier yourself, not as your station, but you as a, also just a human being, during that time, how did you transition within those parameters with loss?
Yeah, so that's, you know, sadly, let me just back up for a second. You know, we've been at war for 16 years now. When I say we now in this sort of modern time, in 16 years we've been in battle across the globe. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily connect the reality of combat. And the reality of combat, unfortunately, is that very good young men and women, well-trained, well-loved, well-disciplined, with the greatest equipment, will make the ultimate sacrifice on the battlefield by no fault. You know, so there, that adds some complexity, too, and you think, oh, you know, someone was in a gunfight and, you know, stood up out of, from behind cover and got, you know, got shot and wounded. You think, well, you should have stayed down. But in this battlefield today, you know, the best and the brightest are subject to the threat all the way around them, whether it's IEDs, mortars, or rockets, or all kinds of diabolical things. And you, being the, call it the observer, the leader, watches somebody get wounded through doing nothing wrong. That adds a complexity to it. So to land this plane on a short runway, Dr. Ken, what I found personally, my nucleus, my core was in dealing with this grief was faith, family, and friends. And not always in that order. And by no way would I be suggesting to anyone that that's the only solution. But, you know, for me, faith, family, and friends in any particular moment on any particular day in dealing with that grieving process, I was very fortunate to have that support sort of surrounding me.
Yeah. And that's obviously holds true whether you're in the military or not.
I think so. And you know, this idea of, you know, I know sometimes people might bristle when we throw faith at them. But when you think of you know, the three-legged stool, you know, or the equilateral triangle, you know, these three points of balance that you got to have. And I'm sounding a lot more deeper than I am. But, you know, there's this concept we call in the military the whole person, where, you know, physically, emotionally, and professionally, you've got to be in balance. So there's sort of a correlation there of this idea of balance, I guess, and this idea that, you know, no one leg has to hold more of the burden in any of our dealing with something. So this drive for balance, I guess, is really the macro view of I think dealing with the success or of dealing with grief.
Now, past grief, there's obviously the idea of striving for some kind of victory and a goal. Now, in the military, that can be short-term goals and long-term goals, obviously. And now moving in and out of that presence of being in the military and then transitioning into civilian life, as you'd call it.
Yeah.
How do you mesh that? How do you teach with your... Because that's become your new mission statement.
Well, really, you know, that's a great segue.
You're now sergeant to multiple people, even though you're not in the military. I want to say sergeant, but you're sort of taking the place where you are coaching, let's say, differently than in the military, but now in civilian life, you're coaching others to optimize the way that they live, to utilize some of this balance that you learned through war and also in your profession. So tell us about that.
So that is a great segue when you know the key word, and I'm going to be military for a second, but it's mission. And if you being any of us, whether we think of the group that's in the military, you join the military because there is a task and a purpose. We are here to protect and defend, serve this
country.
That's
your directive.
No matter where we go on this pebble we call a planet, our armed forces are there, understanding no matter what, my job will always be to protect and defend. And clearly, as it becomes more acute when you're deployed to battle, and then you have, there's big strategic missions, and then there's the tactical execution. We're going to go take that bridge, or we're going to go, capture that person. Got it. So it's all very mission focused. For me, what I thought was the challenge when people say, is it hard out here? It's not hard. There's nothing most of us do out here where a decision's going to get somebody hurt. We're not dealing with lives out here. We're dealing with, P&Ls and bottom lines and doing our business. But what I find is there's not always a very clear mission. And for those transitioning, for instance, out of the military, they're looking for someone to give that task and purpose, that guidance, that, got it, now my focus is on X. And because it's not exactly broadcast the same way out here, I think a lot of soldiers, myself included, struggle to find, well, if nobody's telling me what to do, and I know as this is coming off my tongue, it sounds so infantile, but if no one's telling me what to do, I'm a little lost. I'm not really sure which direction I should go. How do I find that small victory, that small success, if I'm not sure kind of what direction I go in? You tell people, Dr. Ken, that when soldiers come into the military, the last value that they know to be true is whatever they learned at home. And, if you're from Darien, Connecticut, that might be different than East St. Louis. It doesn't mean that the kid from East St. Louis is any worse of a person at all. It's barely different. So the corollary, I believe, is true, too, for these folks. Now you come out and you're a little rudderless, and your values from the military, and that could be as broad as, loyalty and selfless service and whatever, to personal fitness, to whatever, all of a sudden you're out here and it's so different because it's not broadcast to you. So that's where I'm trying to help.
And I could see how people could misunderstand the transition phase. Not having been in the military, you see what you learn a lot of the times through movies. We're a very media centered society, obviously, with TVs everywhere, monitors, cell phones, so forth and so on. And what that shows us is that the soldier that comes out that can't cope, it's because they want war. They want the violence. They need the stimulus. And that's not true. It sounds like it's deeper. It's not that they necessarily need or want the war, it's that they've been trained to have a mission centered life, a service-centered life, where their goals, when met, are celebrated. And when you go into conventional life, if you don't have those sort of, you don't have your team, right? You don't have your guys or whoever that is, and you don't have your missions and your goals clearly set before you, it's going to be harder to cope and to transition.
You're writing this script perfectly. I mean, that's exactly it. Sebastian Younger, talks about that in his book Tribe, and this idea of, I love the movies like everybody else, and you love the books, and there's a persona that I believe, sadly, is being broadcast about veterans in general, that either they're big knuckle dragger, strong as ox, smart like tractor kind of people, or they're so badly broken and, they're missing this adrenaline rush that all they can do is think of, forsake everything else and get back to this idea of I'm a tough guy, go to war, which I find is such extreme on either side, and it's such a minuscule population that it really does, it kind of hurts. I think that it's you know, a soldier, sailor, airman, marine comes on active duty, and whether they stay 4 years, 14, or 24 years, every day of that professional life has been devoted to training for executing their mission. You know, you can see that, you hear these words repetitively, but that's it. You spend every moment of your career trying to be the best at whatever skill set that you have to contribute to this mission. And then all of a sudden, the military, when your time is up, you get a couple of weeks to train for the rest of your life. Yeah. You know, I mean, the math just doesn't fit. This calculus is broken. It's not a knock on our federal government. They got a job to do protecting us. So somehow we've got to help show these soldiers, and I hate to be cliche, the new norm, you know, jumping out of airplanes, blowing stuff up, fighting that massive adrenaline rush all the time, which, granted, it is just that, is not normal. Like, that's not how life is out here.
Right.
Life out here, particularly in South Florida, which I enjoy, is shorts and flip-flops an awful lot of the time, and that's okay, you know, and that's all right.
Now, the mission you've accepted, is that that can be applied, I think, to individuals coming out of prison or transitioning from most situations which are not everyday civilian life, correct?
100%.
Alcoholics. I mean,
it could be anyone.
Because alcoholics are trapped in their own mind, in their own body, in a sense. So, I mean, there's a lot of application here for what you do and what you've decided to spend your life doing.
I think so. And I say I think not to be fickle as much as, you know, when you start at the big picture, and I ask myself, well, who transitions beyond veterans? Well, you know, college students transition. Sure. You know, 50-year-olds that are looking for the new life, they're making a transition. Athletes transition. You know, you look at the obvious, and then you take down that next level. It's not a question of good, better, or best. But then you start thinking, well, gosh, you get deeper. You're like prisoners, like you said, prisoners transition. I had not even considered someone going through a system or a program to beat an addiction, but you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, wounded soldiers that are moving forward. You know, there's several of these touch points all the way around. I suspect there are even more. You know, new, you know, immigrants. I mean, the sky really is the limit. And I think that the formula, generally speaking, though, is across the board. I mean, it's a core across the board.
Let's talk about your formula, because, you know, for me, listening to you and thinking about all of these areas of transition, the one common denominator, I would assume, looks like fear. Fear.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean,
fear of, you know, and you might say, well, how could a soldier fear transitioning? I think we fear what we don't know or what we've forgotten. We fear what we're not good at or think we're not good at. You know, I mean, this is the thing that keeps us from change. This is the thing that keeps us from upgrading or renewing or modifying. It's usually that emotion or that idea that if I can't do it well, I shouldn't do it at all, or I need to go back to what's familiar, right?
100%. I mean, you know, again, you don't need me on your show. You're saying all the right stuff. If we just start with the veteran for a second, because that's an easy sort of data point to look back on.
Right.
You know, this young man or woman that's an expert in his or her profession. I'm a great radio operator, and I've learned problem-solving skills, but I've always had my team, the tribe, you know, with me. Now I'm out, and I'm home in, you know, North Palm Beach, and I'm out, and I don't get a job as a communication specialist. I all of a sudden, they don't need it anymore. I've got to get a job as something else, and now all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm panicking a little because I don't have my team to get on. I'm forgetting what I know, which was very human and natural. And so there's a little panic. And then you think, all I could possibly do is be this radio operator. And I either got to move someplace where they'll take a radio operator or not. Throw the flag for a second. What I'm trying to help, particularly these younger soldiers, realize is that, you know, that is part of a formula. You know, I'm really good at X, so go find X and do that wherever it is. But you know what? There are some variations of X that you just have never heard about, you soldier have never heard about, that really do happen out here. And you find that through your new tribe, through your new network. And believe it or not, if you're coming home to West Palm Beach, even 20 years later, you still have a network of people, and you can start to tap into that in the right way in order to find that thing. The last thing, and I'll shut up and let you continue, I firmly believe it's biblical. I mean, you know, we all have talents, and that, you know, if your greatest talent is digging a ditch, you should be able to dig a ditch for a really great ditch digging company. And I know it sounds awfully pithy, but you know, you don't have to settle on what you did 20 years ago. You know, you can be a mechanic at, you know, not to be superficial, at the Rolls-Royce dealer, you know, instead of working at Fred's Garage. And there's nothing wrong with Fred's Garage, and I don't mean to intone that, but my point being more that we've got help these young men and women of all ages understand that you can't pigeonhole yourself. You know, you've got the skills, you've got the goods to really maybe just change your azimuth a little bit, and there's some pretty great opportunity out here.
Now, how do you do that, though? What are some of this? The methods that you use to help these. Again, we're speaking specifically about soldiers or former soldiers transition into a new way of thinking.
Right. So there's best case scenario, and then there's reality. Mm-hmm. And reality is there's a finite amount of time that we can spend with veterans in order to introduce them to this new world, because they don't get it in great detail in their transition. So what do we got to do for them? Well, we've got to remind them, first of all, do a little self-assessment, a realistic self-assessment of, you know, their skills and their traits and their beliefs and their values. And that is, you know, first of all, to get them in the idea that you're the only one that knows the truth. So you got to be truthful in this. So we got to do a little introspective look at ourselves, right, and really say, hey, what am I good at? The second thing we've got to do is think about what this, and it's an overused word, this idea of network. We've got to build your new tribe. And then we've got to talk a little bit about your kind of business focus, your brand. You know, what does your brand stand for? What really do you, when you go out, what's the mark you leave? And then from there, we got to introduce them, you know, to the new world. You know, there's 10 industries, I think, that are worthy of some significant look, and you start the industry, and then you bring it down to companies, and then jobs available, and you know, sort of work through this journey together, how we take care of ourselves, how we see the workplace, and then how we're going to move forward. So that's, in a nutshell, I think part of that strategy. I think coaching helps too.
Mm-hmm. And I like that part about how we see ourselves, because this is not only about transitioning into the workforce. There's some that are going to have no problem doing that. But if their home life, if their ability to maintain a healthy lifestyle as well. So not only home life emotionally, but healthy lifestyle. If that doesn't excel here in civilian life, then they've lost it.
100%. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. You know, again, back to that three-legged, right, you know, analogy. You know, if you're personal, professional, and emotional life. If you're not spending time, mm-hmm, and granted, a lot of soldiers spend a lot of time away from home.
Yeah.
And so coming out here now should theoretically be the time where you can, you know, this ought to be, all the other stuff is easy. And this is now your family maintenance, yeah, time. This is your family repair. This is building that emotional and personal piece along with your professional. But again, if that breaks.
Right. If you've unlearned the importance of that, yeah, if that is not, if you're not able to reprioritize that's going to be a, you know, a horrible situation for anybody, right?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm happy you're out there doing this for our young soldiers and for anyone else that would need your expertise, because, you know, I've been fortunate enough to meet you outside of the military. I did not meet you in the military. Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate enough to meet your family, and I can say that I feel that you've achieved that state of balance. And I think any soldier, any professional should be really happy to meet you and utilize the knowledge and wisdom that you've acquired over the years. How do they find you?
You know, I right now I just do it all through LinkedIn and word of mouth. Okay. You know, I've got a day job too, so I'm doing this on the side. But I'm going to get the word out to you pretty soon when we look into 2018.
Well, if you do LinkedIn, I guess they can find you under Matt Eversman.
Matt Eversman on LinkedIn, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yeah. Have them to your school. Have them to your college. Have them,
would love it,
to the office, to the corporate setting. I think it would be a great addition for anyone. This is what we need out there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Dr. Ken, thank you so much. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Again, this has been Matt Eversman, former sergeant in the U.S. military and the Army for over 20 years. He came and joined with us and teaching us how to transition. For those soldiers out there listening, former soldiers, please reach out to him via LinkedIn. And then otherwise, we are here. If you missed any portion of the show, we are prx.org. Just look up Maximum Health. And then we are here every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. For any comments or requests, there's Dr. Ken Gray, grey.com. See you next time.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.